So Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 20. My dear friends, this is the inspired, therefore infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word of God, sufficient to make us wise unto salvation and equip us for good works. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slave you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I have preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is forming you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. So my friends, I think finding ourselves back at square one, or going back to square one, is one of the most difficult and painful experiences that you can have, or we can have in our lives. So a couple of years ago, I had a Zoom call with my parents, who had been a longtime missionaries in Cambodia for over 20 years now, to see how they were doing and to see how their ministry was going. And initially, our conversation was filled with many laughters, you know, smiles, as we were talking about, you know, how Ella was doing, how they were doing in Cambodia and so on. But then our conversation quickly turned into very discouraging and disappointing one, as they told me that their ministry was suffering greatly from the aftermath of COVID. So the story went like this. It was back in 2021 when I talked with my mom and dad, and then it was time when COVID was still sweeping the globe. And Cambodian government, they enforced a total lockdown policy that prohibited people from their houses no matter what. So it didn't matter who you were, didn't matter where you were, you know, you were not allowed to leave your houses, you know, in any cases. In fact, if you were found on the road, the police will beat you up and send you back home. So naturally, many Cambodian people stopped going to church every Sunday because they were not allowed to be on the road. And even after this policy was lifted, well, my parents' ministry, which once enjoyed like 300 regular attendance, it plummeted down. And it virtually emptied out their church, as they only saw maybe one or two occasional visitors every Sunday morning. So my mom and dad finally said to me, "Sup, we are starting all over again. And we don't know if we should continue our ministry here, or if we should just give up and retire from it." Now, I'm thankful to tell you that my mom and dad didn't give up, and that they continue to plow on, and their ministry is slowly growing again. But this difficult season of their lives, the difficult season of their ministry, certainly made them to question whether anything good had come out of their ministry, or for that matter, if anything good would come out of their ministry if they continue to do their labor in Cambodia. I mean, I could evidently hear from their voices that they were discouraged, disappointed. You know, they were perplexed to find themselves back at square one, and to feel as though all their labor had been in vain as they saw every time they saw empty sanctuary in the morning. So let me ask you, my dear friends, have you ever had an experience where you felt as though you were back at square one, back to square one, with someone in your life that you invested your time and energy to teach and preach the gospel to them? I mean, have you ever had an experience in your life where you found yourself, back to ground zero with someone in your life? Maybe it's your children, your parents, your loved ones. After all the time that you poured out on them to help them understand the gospel, but only to find that they just simply don't listen to you and go back to the lives of formal lives of sinfulness. And if you had that experience, what did you do about it? How did you respond? Well, this morning, my dear friends, we are going to see someone who found himself back at square one with one of his beloved congregation. That is the Apostle Paul and his congregations in Galatia. I'm sure many of you still remember how the Galatian churches were one of the earliest congregations established by Paul during his first missionary journey. And we do know that Paul poured out his time and energy into this congregation so that they will be established upon the gospel and continue to thrive and grow upon it, even in his absence. But what did we learn last few months? Well, much to Paul's surprise and shock, we learned that the Galatian churches quickly abandoned Paul's gospel as they welcomed in false teachers called Judaizers into their churches. And for that matter, we also learned that the Galatians quickly embraced the false teachings from the Judaizers, where they said simple act of putting their faith in Jesus Christ was not enough for their salvation, but rather that they must live a legalistic life according to all the Mosaic laws if they want to be right and perfect before God. So this morning, we are introduced to the Apostle Paul, who continues to deal with a congregation that so quickly abandoned Paul's gospel, that so quickly abandoned all of Paul's labor during his first missionary journey. And surprisingly, we are going to see extraordinary example, extraordinary picture of Paul continuing to labor for the gospel in the lives of Galatians, despite all the discouragement and disappointment that he had experienced from this congregation. So my intention this morning is to walk through Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 20 with you. And from that, I hope that we can draw out good application for our well-being, for our benefit here in Christ Presbyterian Church. And as it is my practice, I want to first submit this big idea to you, this proposition, so that you will all know where we are going with today's message. So, my dear friends, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 20, and I'm sorry, the proposition on the bulletin is not right because I changed it last minute. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 20, the Apostle Paul shows us his extraordinary pastoral heart as he continued to labor for the gospel in the lives of Galatian congregations. I'll say it again. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 20, the Apostle Paul shows an extraordinary picture of pastoral heart as he continued to labor for the gospel in the lives of Galatian congregations. Well, then let's jump into this morning's message. So, how did the Apostle Paul continue to labor for the Galatians? I mean, what extraordinary picture of pastoral heart can we observe from today's text? Well, first thing that we observe from today's text is that the Apostle Paul continued to labor for the gospel in the lives of Galatians as he expressed his deep consternation or his deep concern for the spiritual well-being of the Galatian churches. So let's jump into the first point of today's sermon, that is the Apostle Paul's consternation for Galatians. The Apostle Paul's consternation for Galatians. As verse 8 says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. So in verse 8, my dear friends, the Apostle Paul makes an astonishing statement about the Galatian Christians. He says something very shocking. That is, he says there were definitive time in their lives, you Galatians, when you were like slaves to those what Paul identifies in today's text as things by nature were no gods. And more important, now there's no doubt here that the Apostle Paul is talking about the Galatians' former lives as a pagan worshiper before they were converted to Christianity. I mean, just like their Gentile neighbors, there is no doubt that Galatian Christians once served pagan idols and pagan gods in their former lives. And Paul describes the definitive moment, definitive time of their lives as a time of slavery. And more importantly, Paul further clarifies to these Galatians that they live like slaves to things that were by nature no gods, because precisely they didn't know God. He says, formerly, you didn't know God. Therefore, you were slave to those by nature were no gods. So now, I think we have to pause here for a moment to ask a very important question. That is, what does the Apostle Paul mean here by you didn't know God formerly? I mean, how should we understand what Paul is saying here? Before you didn't know God, therefore you were slaves. Does the Apostle Paul mean that the Galatians had absolute zero knowledge about God and his existence and his attributes? Or is the Apostle Paul saying that the Galatians simply didn't know about God of Israel? What does the Apostle Paul mean? Formerly, you didn't know God. Well, maybe I can help us understand what Paul is saying here with a short story. So when I was a senior student in college, I met a girl who began to slowly steal my heart in a philosophy class. And in case you're wondering who that might be, it's my wife, Rachel, who's now in nursery watching Ella. So I remember how I, began to slowly develop feelings on Rachel, as I enjoy talking with her and doing assignments with her, after school. But at the same time, I was not really brave enough to ask Rachel out on a date because, well, partially I was planning on going back to Korea, after I was done with college. It was never my plan to stay in the US. It was never my plan to live here in the US. I was planning on going back to Korea and my graduation was coming near. But interestingly enough, I was already a very good friend with Rachel's roommate. Rachel's roommate went to my friend. We went to the same church. We had the same friend group. We knew each other very well. So as I began to notice, I was slowly developing feelings on Rachel. I began to ask a lot of questions about Rachel to my friend. And my friend, being very excited that I like someone, tried to tell me all about Rachel, and what she likes, and and all of things about Rachel that she learned as she lived with her in the same dorm room. But under God's gracious providence, well, Rachel and I started to date. We started to date each other. And it was in this dating relationship that I began to know Rachel, that I began to know Rachel. Really. You see, unlike how my friend helped me to know about Rachel in a general way, many days that I spent with Rachel, stargazing, watching sunset at the lakes, taking long walks with our Starbucks in our hands, it helped me to know Rachel intimately, personally, in a very close way. And now that I've been married to Rachel for 6 years, I can say for sure that I know Rachel intimately, personally and deeply, more so than anyone in this world. And I hope that Rachel can also say that about me as well. But you see, that's the kind of knowing that the Apostle Paul is talking about in verse 8 of today's text. Of course, when Paul says that formerly you didn't know God, he's not saying that they had absolute zero knowledge about God, his attributes, and his existence. No. Even when the Galatians were pagan worshipers, they still knew about God in a general way. And in fact, Paul himself says it in his first, in his letter to Romans. He says that no human beings can ever say, I didn't know God, because all human beings know God in general way. He says in Romans chapter 1, that God's divine attributes, such as his divine nature and eternal power, are clearly perceived in the things that have been created ever since the creation of the world. And the psalmist says it too, right? The psalmist says, you know, the heaven declares the glory of God. Day to day it pours out speech. The scripture is clear that all human beings know God without an exception. But at the same time, even though all human beings know about God in general way, not every human beings know God intimately, personally, and savingly. And that's what Paul is saying here in verse 8. Paul says that formerly, you didn't know God in an intimate, personal, and saving ways. Therefore, you lived as a slaves to things by nature that were no gods at all. But Paul goes on and he says, you Galatians, that is not the case for you anymore. He says that there came, he says in verse 9 of today's text, but now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God. In other words, Paul declares that when he came to Galatia and began to preach the gospel, and when the Galatians accepted his message and put their faith in Jesus Christ, that they enter into a mutual and intimate relationship with God. He says, you begin to know God intimate and personal and saving way. And for that matter, that God himself began to know you intimate and personal and close way. So imagine for a moment here, being able to call God your friend, your father, and your beloved. And God himself calling you, my friend, my child, my beloved. Isn't that a wonderful relationship to think about? Isn't that a beautiful relationship to think about? I mean, what more can creature ask for of us from the Creator than such a beautiful and mutual and intimate relationship? Well, unfortunately, today's text tells us that the Galatians had other thoughts, as Paul continues in verse 9 and says, how can you then turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slave you want to be once more? In other words, Paul speaks to them that once, my dear friends, that you are like slaves to those by nature who know God because you didn't know God in a personal and saving way. But that's not the case for you anymore. You came to this mutual relationship with God, that you came into this intimate relationship with God. But why then, dear Galatians, that you are trying to go back to your slavery again? And this time, more specifically, to the Mosaic laws. As you're dying to observe all the religious days and festivals, all the religious seasons that were meant to tell you about God, rather than that was given to help you know about God generally, about God intimately and personally. You know, when I began to date Rachel, I never went back to my friend to ask about Rachel or know more about Rachel. You know, when I began dating Rachel, if I had any question about her, I went to Rachel and I asked her, what do you like? What do you think? How should I do this? Or how should I, you know, love you better and so on? It would have been wrong and foolish of me to go back to my friend and ask her, what do you think the best way for me to love Rachel more? When in fact, I could have gone to Rachel and asked that. And Paul is saying it here. You can go to God And you can have intimate relationship with it. You can ask God and you can have a good relationship God, with God. But why are you going back to the law that was just meant to tell you about God? So in this way, Paul expresses his deep consternation, deep concern for the Galatian Christians, as he says in verse 11, I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain. In other words, Paul honestly shared with the Galatians that I feel like I'm back to square one. I feel like I'm back to ground zero. I feel like I'm back to starting point with you. And I feel like all my labor for you have been in vain. Well then, does that mean that the Apostle Paul gave up on the Galatians? Does this mean that the Galatians threw their hands in the air, that the Apostle Paul threw his hands in the air and said, Galatians, I'm done with you. You guys go ahead and do your own thing. I'll go and find a better congregation that will listen to me. Let's just go each other's way. Is that what the Apostle Paul did in today's text? Well, absolutely not. You see, after the Apostle Paul honestly expressed his concern and honest thought to Galatians, he now goes on and he now begins to serve them. He begins to continue to labor for the gospel, labor for the gospel in the lives of Galatians. So let's jump into the last point of today's sermon, that is the Apostle Paul's exhortation to Galatians. The Apostle Paul's exhortation to Galatians. As the Apostle Paul says in verse 12, brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. So, in other words, after the Apostle Paul shared his concern for the Galatians, now he begins to address them with a loving address to draw their attention to himself again, as he says, brothers. And with this loving address, the Apostle Paul gives a very fascinating command, very fascinating exhortation to them, saying, become as I am. In other words, he says, be like me, just like how I was not hesitant to be like you when I was in Galatia. So I think we need to pause here once again to ask a very important question. That is, what does the Apostle Paul mean here by become as I am? I mean, how should we understand what Paul is saying here? Be like me, just like how I was not hesitant to be like you when I was in Galatia. I mean, what about Paul should the Galatians be like in today's text? Well, I think we can find an answer to that question in verse 13. Paul says, you know, it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. So now, as a side note, the Apostle Paul gives us a little hint as to what he was like when he first came to Galatia. And according to verse 13 of today's text, it seems as though the Apostle Paul was suffering from some sort of bodily ailment or some sort of disease when he first met the Galatian Christians. And this provoked many thoughts and ideas, speculations from theologians and scholars. So, for instance, some scholars think that the Apostle Paul was struggling with malaria when he first came to Galatia. I don't know where they get that from. Never was fully convinced, but that's what some people say. Other scholars then argue that the Apostle Paul was suffering from the aftermath of bodily, aftermath of torture, or aftermath of a physical abuse that he endured in previous mission field. But considering the rest of the verses in today's text, I think it is best for us to think that when the Apostle Paul first came to Galatia, that he was suffering from some sort of eye disease, that he was suffering from some sort of eye illness. And I think it makes more sense because this disease was visible enough, it was external enough to be seen by all other people. It was not something that he could hidden under his clothes or inside of his body. Or for that matter, it says that this disease was grotesque enough to be a trial to the Galatians. It was gross enough to be repulsive to those who saw Paul. And we are even told that the Galatians were willing to dig out their ear, they dig out their eyes to give it to Paul if that meant that Paul can have an ease from his bodily illness. So I don't know about you, but when I was young, I had a pink eye, and a really nasty one. And let me tell you, when I had a pink eye, I was a mess. I was constantly tearing up. It got to the point that, pus began to come out from my eyes. I looked gross. And certainly, nobody wanted to come near me, even though they say, "Oh, how are you doing, sir?" They were not willing to hug me or anything like that. And I was willing to dig out my eyes if that meant that I can get over this pink eye. Now, I think that's what Paul was struggling with, not a pink eye, but some sort of eye-related disease. But what we must notice from today's text is how the Apostle Paul responded to this bodily ailment that he had in Galatia. That is, Paul declares today that even this bodily ailment could not stop him from preaching the gospel. Paul declares that even though he was suffering from this disease, from this illness, that he still went on and preached the good news of Jesus Christ first thing when he came to Galatia. And we are told that the Galatians received Paul like an angel of God, like a Christ himself. And that, my dear friends, is what Paul commands Galatians to be like. That is to live for the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like how Paul lived for the gospel of Jesus Christ, even in his bodily ailment. And he further declares Galatians to stop pursuing the false teachers, who in reality don't care about them, but only their own fame and their interest. And Paul commands them to pursue a gospel-driven life, just like how he pursued a gospel-driven life in Galatia. And in this way, we observe the Apostle Paul's exhortation to Galatians. He continued to labor for the gospel in their lives as he commanded them to live for the gospel, to live a gospel-driven life, just like himself. Well then, I believe we need to pause here for a moment for the way of application. That is, how should we apply Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 20 in our daily lives? What good applications can we glean from today's text? Well, certainly, I believe there are so many good applications that we can draw out from today's text. I mean, today's text is really theologically rich text, it's practically rich text that we can draw out so many applications from. In fact, when I prepared this message, I think I came out with like four or five different applications. But time will not permit us to go all over that. So going back to our proposition of this morning's message, I want to draw out one important application from today's text, that is to never give up laboring for the gospel of Jesus Christ in the lives of others, even though when we feel like we are back to square one with them. Let me say it again. Today's text teaches us that we should never give up for laboring for the gospel in the lives of others, even when we feel like we are back to square one with them. So I wonder by now if you happen to question how the Apostle Paul was able to go on. I mean, did you thought about that yet? How the Apostle Paul was able to continue to labor for the gospel in the lives of Galatians, even after all the discouragement and disappointment that he received from them? They quickly abandoned Paul's gospel. They had a zero regard for all the labor that Paul had poured into them. And most likely, they even embraced or spread a false rumor about Paul, an ill rumor about Paul from the false teachers. But Paul didn't give up. Why and how? Well, we can actually find an answer in verse 19. He says, "My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." You see, the Apostle Paul didn't give up on the Galatian congregation. Even though he felt like he was back to ground zero with them, even though he felt he was back to square one, even though he felt like he was starting from the starting line, that he did not give up on Galatia because he wanted to see Christ form in their life. Because he wanted to see Christ form in their hearts. And the thing is, my dear friends, the disappointment and discouragement that we often, that the apostle, the this disappointment and discouragement that the Apostle Paul experienced with the Galatian congregations is often the disappointment and discouragement that we experience in our lives as well. I mean, you may be mom and dad who poured out your time and energy to nurture your kids in the gospel, but only to see them constantly going back to their sinful nature and wondering what is going on You may be a parent who have a grown-up child, children, after all that you have done for them, that they just go back and live a sinful life that has no characteristics of godliness whatsoever. Or you may be a man or woman that you labor to preach and teach the gospel to your friends or your loved ones or your families, but only to find them going back to their former lives of sin. And when that happens, it's very easy for us to throw our hands in the air and say, "I give up. That I don't want to do anything with the man. That all my labor feels like it had been in vain." But the Apostle Paul in today's text says, never give up on them. He tells us to never give up on laboring for the gospel in the lives of others with a heart, with a desire to see Christ form in their lives as well. And at this point, some of you guys might be thinking, well, Pastor Sub, it's good that the Apostle Paul never gave up and they continue to labor for the gospel in the lives of Galatians. But the Apostle Paul was able to do this because he was the Apostle Paul. He was an extraordinary man. He must have an extraordinary character, but I am not the Apostle Paul. I am nothing but extraordinary. That I am nothing, I'm just ordinary man, just like the rest of the people. So how can I continue to labor for the gospel in the lives of others when I feel like I'm back to square one with them? Well, if you are thinking that, questioning that, may I encourage you to think about our Lord Jesus Christ. May I encourage you to think about how our Lord Jesus Christ endured much suffering, even suffering unto death. For what purpose? To see Christ form in our heart as well. You see, Hebrew chapter 12, verses 2 through 3 says this about Jesus. He says, Jesus was a man who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What joy did Jesus Christ look forward to? What joy was it that Jesus Christ was looking forward to as he was enduring the suffering? Well, it was him being formed in our heart. It was us becoming his and he becoming ours. That was the joy that Jesus Christ looked forward to as he endured suffering upon the cross. And if our Lord Jesus labored for the gospel in our lives, even unto death, why can't we do that? We can also labor for the gospel in the lives of others, even though when we feel like we are back to square one with them every single time. And we can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help us to that end. So, my dear friends, this morning we examine together Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 20. And we have seen together how the Apostle Paul shows an extraordinary pastoral heart toward the Galatians as he continued to labor for the gospel in the lives of Galatian Christians. And in this way, may I now encourage you as I close this morning to never give up on laboring for the gospel. May I encourage you to never give up on laboring for the gospel in the lives of your loved ones, in the lives of your family, in the lives of your friends, even though you feel like you're back to square one with them. Because, and may I now encourage you to continue to labor for them with a desire to see Christ formed in them. Let's all pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. This time, O Lord, that you have given to us so that we can see and observe extraordinary pastoral heart of the Apostle Paul, who continued to labor for the gospel in the lives of Galatian Christians, even though they have given Paul much disappointment and much discouragement. And we learn, Lord, that the Apostle Paul was able to show his concern for the Galatians, that he was able to command Galatians to live for the gospel, because he precisely wanted to see Christ form in them. And in this way, in this way, Lord, we ask that you will also help us to continue to labor for the gospel in the lives of those around us, even though when we may feel like we are back to square one with them, with a great and deep desire to see Christ form in their lives as well. And to that end, Lord, we ask that you will help us. Whenever we are discouraged and disappointed, help us to remember Jesus Christ, who endured much suffering, even suffering unto death upon the cross, with the joy to see him form in our heart. So help us, O Lord, to love our neighbors and to teach, preach, and share the gospel with them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, my dear friends, may I now invite you to stand with me for the confession of faith that is taken from Belgic Confession. Now, the letter to Galatians is basically a letter about justification. And I think it will be great for us to be reminded of what we believe about justification of sinners. So after I read a question, please respond by reading the answer. So, my dear Christians, what do we believe about the justification of sinners?
Thank you.